Our scripture reading for this morning is Titus chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. And now let's turn to the Lord in prayer before we go into today's message. Holy, blessed Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom, Lord, we enjoy fellowship with you. And we thank you, Lord, for the gift of the Holy Spirit who indwells within all who truly trust in Christ as Savior and as Lord. And we thank you that by your Holy Spirit, you grant us the illumination to rightly understand and accept your word for our growth, for our nourishment, for our sanctification. And so, Holy Father, we humbly pray and appeal to you that for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our justifying righteousness, that you would be pleased, Lord, to empower us to understand and receive your word, so that being nourished by your word, we may grow in knowledge and in holiness. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to remind everyone that we are, of course, continuing with our series in Titus, picking up what we left off in the first chapter of this epistle, moving on to verse 5 to 6. Over the past few months, we've been working our way through the introduction of Titus. And in this introduction, if you recall, Paul does a few things. He sums up the purpose of his apostolic ministry. He also sums up the fundamentals of the gospel, which he proclaimed. And at the conclusion of his introduction, he conveys the Lord's saving blessings to Titus, who is the recipient of this epistle. Having introduced his epistle in this way, the Apostle Paul then goes on to remind Titus of the purpose of his ministry, where he served on the Mediterranean island of Crete. Verse 5. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Paul had apparently ministered at Crete and then departed, leaving Titus behind to carry on with the work that he began. What was the responsibility that Paul assigned to Titus in the continuation of his work? Well, the responsibility he assigned to Titus was to put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town. In the original language, the word for putting into order is epidiorthao, and that word is derived from two Greek words, epi, which means over, and orthos, which means straight. So this word means to straighten further. In other words, there are issues that needed to be straightened out within the churches at Crete. Paul had started to set things into order. Now Titus was in charge of putting what remained into order. Titus's task was to bring the churches into full alignment with the fundamentals of God's will for his church. So it may also be the case that there are things that remain within our church that also need to be put into order. There are things that need to be straightened out within this small but precious body of believers. And that's why it's so important for us to hear and receive the reproof of God's word, so that what remains may be put into order among us. Many years ago, I worked as a contractor at a large retail business, and one of the first things I had to do when I came in each morning was to inspect the merchandise that was assigned to my care and straighten them out where they were organized on the shelves. The foot traffic from the previous day ensured that each morning, at least some of the merchandise was out of alignment. I had to bring the stray products into alignment with their respective price tags. So also the Word of God, as we receive it today, is meant to move us into alignment, not with a price tag, of course, but with its commandments. The Word of God is given to us to put what remains among us into order. One of the issues at Crete that needed to be straightened out and put into order was the need for elders. Some of the churches on that Mediterranean island were without elders. Titus was tasked to appoint qualified men to fill that vital need for elders. Why are elders so vital to the church? Because according to the Word of God, who are elders? Elders are the overseers of the church. And this is clear as we read on to verse 7 of Titus 1. So we start from verse 5. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. So why are elders so important to the church? Because they are the overseers of the church. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. In his address to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, Paul also refers to them as overseers. Acts 20:28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. The word translated as overseer in the New Testament is episkopos. Episkopos. Epi is an intensifier. Skopos means a watchman. So what is an overseer? An overseer is someone who not only watches over the flock, but keeps close watch over the church of God. They are to pay careful attention to both themselves and all the flock entrusted to their care. And that's why Apostle Paul says in Acts 20:28 to the Ephesian elders, pay careful attention. Why? Because elders are overseers. They're watchmen. And that's why they're vital to the church. And so we read much the same in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to 2. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. That's the primary responsibility of the elder, to exercise oversight, and that's why they're called overseers in the New Testament. As important as a shepherd is to the flock of sheep, so is the elder important to the flock of God. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. As we pointed out in the past, shepherding Christ's flock involves three core responsibilities: leading the flock, feeding the flock, and guarding the flock. We're not going to unpack these in detail because we've done that in the past. We'll just touch upon it briefly. We read in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, regarding the leadership of elders, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. That's why the elders are called overseers, because they are keeping watch over your souls. As those who will have to give an account, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So again, who are the leaders of the church? It is those who are keeping watch over the souls of the flock. And these people are the overseers or elders of the church. The elders, like a shepherd onto his sheep, are also charged with feeding the flock with the instruction of God's word. And the ability to teach God's word is one of the qualifications of eldership. That's listed in verse 9 of this chapter in Titus. Titus 1:9. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine, and also to rebuke those who contradict it. So elders are, the core responsibilities of elders includes leadership over the church, teaching the word of God onto the church, and the third core responsibility is guarding the flock of God. Who are they to guard against? They're to guard against spiritual danger. Scripture makes clear that they are to guard against wolves who speak twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Things that contradict the infallible and inerrant word of God. Acts 20, 28 to 31. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert. See that emphasis there. Verse 28, unto the elders, pay careful attention. Verse 31, be alert. That's the responsibility of an overseer, a watchman. Careful attention, alertness. Given the responsibilities of the elder, this role cannot be fulfilled by any believer. As our text for today makes clear, only qualified men are permitted by God to fulfill this office of utmost importance. And the first qualification listed in our text is the quality of being above reproach. Verse 5, verse 6 in today's text, this is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, only men who are above reproach are qualified to become overseers of Christ's church. The word translated as above reproach is anekletos in the Greek. And again, it's a compound of two words. A in the Greek is a negative participle. And the second part of the word is derived from the Greek word ekaleo, which means accuse. So literally, this word means unaccused. Only men who are free from valid accusation against their character are qualified to become overseers of the church. Unaccused. The word of God, of course, tells us that people will accuse believers. They will malign believers. That's to be expected of all genuine followers of Christ. There really is no way to avoid it. But men who are qualified for eldership must lead such a life that when they are accused by people, those accusations do not hold up under scrutiny. When people get to know these men and witness their way of life, what happens? The accusations fail to stick. So we read in today's text, for an overseer, God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine, and also rebuke those who contradict it. So a man who is qualified for eldership is a man against whose character no legitimate accusation can be made. He must be above reproach. See, people may be able to criticize such a man of being socially awkward. They may be able to criticize such a man of having low energy, or being an uninteresting person, or a long-winded person, or an uneducated person, or unpopular person, or an unremarkable person, but they must not be able to make a legitimate accusation that he's an arrogant person. He must not be arrogant. He must not be able to make a legitimate accusation that he is a quick-tempered person. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered. You see the list here. People must not be able to make a legitimate accusation that this man is addicted to drink. He must not be a drunkard. Or that he is a violent person. Or a greedy person. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain. There must be no legitimate accusation that this man is an inhospitable person, or that he loves any form of evil, or that he's a volatile and reckless person, or that he is a corrupt person. See, we're just going down the list here. But hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright. There must be no legitimate accusation that he is a profane and impure person, or that he is an impulsive, disorderly person, or a person who lacks confidence in the Word of God. But hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined, he must hold firm to the trustworthy Word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. Believer who manifests a persistent pattern of falling into any of these kinds of sins, who struggle against these kinds of sins, are marred by frequent failure, according to the word of the Lord, is disqualified from the office of elder. And why is that? Because such people are vulnerable to accusation from others, especially the unbelieving. A man qualified to become an elder must be able to exemplify to the rest of the flock the exhortation of 1 Peter 2:12. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. What does accusation do? Accusation invites scrutiny. So that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds. We're accused. The man qualified to be an elder is accused. He's maligned. He's spoken against as an evildoer. And then people scrutinize this man's life, and they see the opposite. A man qualified for eldership must lead a life that silences accusation. He must be able to exemplify 1 Peter 2:15 onto the church. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. A man who is able to do that is qualified for the office of elder and overseer. Of course, the gospel assures us that no one achieves perfection in this life and that all believers are liable to sin. The gospel, as we pointed out innumerable times in the past, also assures us that although believers sin, no genuine believer makes an unrepentant, willful practice of sinning. But some believers, in their struggle against sin are beset with chronic failure in the areas mentioned in today's text. And that gives unbelievers opportunity to make a valid accusation against them. And therefore, such a person is unqualified to be an elder, since he is failing to live in a manner that is above reproach. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. By the way, it may surprise us that one of the qualifications for the office of deacon is also the quality of being above reproach. This is a qualification not only for men who desire to be elders, but also men who desire to be deacons. 1 Timothy 3:8-10. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. The word translated as blameless in 1 Timothy 3:10 is anekletos. It's the same word in verse 10 of Titus 1, which is translated as above reproach. It's also the word that we find here in verse 6 of today's text. And so again, a person who demonstrates a clear, persistent pattern of failure in the areas outlined in passages like today's text is neither qualified to be an elder or a deacon. So again, an overseer must be above reproach. And the reason he must be above reproach is because he is God's steward. Read in Titus 1:7. For an overseer as God's steward must be above reproach. See, that's what an elder is. An elder is God's steward. An elder is entrusted with management of God's household. Would we appoint an untrustworthy person to manage our business on our behalf? Would we entrust the care of our own children to an untrustworthy person? See, we know to be discriminating when it comes to whom we trust with the care of our business, with the care of our household. How much more with people who will be entrusted with the care of God's household, God's church? Yet why is it that some churches lower the bar for the office of elder and make it accessible to nearly anyone who professes to be a Christian and is a member of the church? Why is it that other churches, when it comes to whom they consider for the office of elder, weigh the education, wealth, and career of a man more highly than his moral character and his capacity to teach God's word? And the results are disastrous, as scandal, along with ignorance and unsound teaching, plague the churches. And that's why we read in verse 7 of Titus 1, for an overseer as God's steward must be above reproach. As we touched upon earlier in this message, another reason why overseers must be above reproach is because they are to be an example to the rest of Christ's church. 1 Peter 5:1-3, so exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. That's another reason why overseers must be above reproach, because they're to be an example to the rest of Christ's church. That example is very important, because it's not only overseers and deacons that must be above reproach, but actually in the New Testament, in the Gospel, every believer even if they are not in a church office, is commanded to lead lives that are above reproach. The quality of being above reproach, of course, is a qualification for church leadership, but it's a requirement for all believers. Not just the leaders, all believers. Philippians 2, 14 to 15. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. The whole church is called and commanded to be blameless. And that, of course, includes being above reproach. Our lives are a witness to the world of the transforming grace of the gospel. Our lives are proof of the gospel's claim that believers are born again, new creations who are reconciled to God by the precious blood of Christ and bestowed with a heart, a new heart, to please Him. Elders are to exemplify this witness to the flock under their care, and the flock of Christ is to emulate their example. And that is why elders as overseers are so vital to the church. And it was one of the primary things that Titus was charged to. One of the primary things that Titus was charged to do was to appoint elders in every town where the fellowship of Christ was present on that island of Crete long ago. Let's pray. Blessed Holy Father, we thank you for your word. And as your word searches us, Lord, we pray that we would examine ourselves. How easy it is, Lord, for us to examine others, to pinpoint their faults and their flaws, and being so completely ignorant of our very own selves. And so, Lord, we pray that you would empower the elders of the church to lead lives that are above reproach. But we also acknowledge, according to your word, that that's not only a requirement for elders. It's also something that is commanded of all believers. Deacons and all believers are commanded by your word to lead blameless lives, lives that are above reproach. Help us, O Lord, to do this in obedience to your word and for your glory and for the witness of your gospel through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.